Welcome to the live service from Family Worship Center. This service is also being broadcast live on Sun Life Radio, online worldwide at sunlifetv.com, and on the free SBN Now app. We'll have praise and worship from the Family Worship Center singers and musicians, a time for prayer, and the anointed preaching from God's Word. Now let's go live to the Family Worship Center sanctuary as the service begins.
Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to Revelation chapter 19. We've read this before, but we commented on it very little, I think a half a verse or something. And Donnie will pick up on the 11th verse, please.
And I saw heaven opened.
Records the final prophetic hour regarding the second coming, without a doubt the greatest moment in human history. I want that line to sink in. The greatest moment in human history. If you are washed in the blood of the Lamb and you're born again, you're going to be with Him at that time. I want you to think of that. All over the world, if you're born again, you're going to be with Him. Praise God. Every born-again believer at the second coming will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that'll be a time, I want you to know. It'll be the greatest moment in human history. I want you to think of that. The greatest moment in human history. Thank God He's coming back in a glorious cloud of glory. Praise God. Go ahead, Donnie.
And behold, a white horse.
In effect, proclaims a war horse.
And he who sat upon him was called faithful and true.
Faithful to his promises and true to his judgments. He contrasts with the false Messiah of Revelation 6:2, who was neither faithful nor true.
And in righteousness he does judge and make war.
Refers to the manner of his second coming. Go ahead.
His eyes were as a flame of fire.
Represents judgment.
And on his head were many crowns.
Represents the fact that he will not be Lord of just one realm. He will be Lord of all realms, the entirety of this planet, and also the universe. Praise God.
And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
Not meaning that it is unknown, but rather it is definitely unknowable. It will remain unreachable to man, meaning that its depths can never be fully plumbed. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Anoint us to open your bread of life, to break the bread of life, to teach your word. And may the needs of every person tuned in to us tonight, May those needs be met. And Lord, we would ask it all in the gracious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. As we mentioned a couple of Wednesdays ago, in these particular passages, almost all of the book of Revelation, really, it's given over to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. His glory, you might say His beauty and His power. The question may be asked, what is glory? What is glory? And we don't really know what glory is up beside that which the Lord has. It's beauty and it's power. It's power that's unexcelled and it's beauty. The glory of Jesus Christ was evident when He came the first time. In the time that He healed everything that came to Him. Not one went away unhealed. If they came, they were healed by the power of God. He raised the dead. I mean, you talk about glory and power. I just read this morning of Lazarus. Lazarus come forth. And as somebody has said many times, if he hadn't called Lazarus' name, everybody in that graveyard would have come out of those graves. He has that kind of power. And He cleansed lepers. They were one that touched Him and said, if you will, you can make me whole. And The text really says that when Jesus spoke the word and said, be healed, he was healed before Jesus ever even touched him. It was against the law to touch a leper. But when he touched him, there was no leprosy there. This is power, unexcelled. But when he comes back the second time, his person is going to be of such power as to defy description. It'll be impossible to properly elucidate, to enunciate who he is and what he is, even though we will be with him. His glory and his power will be manifested. And it will be manifested against God's enemies, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the millions upon millions that are trying to completely destroy Israel. His power is going to be manifested in such a manner and way that the world has never seen before in its history. Praise God. And I'm glad I'm going to be there by the grace of God. You're going to be there by the grace of God. And he showed only a little of that power when he was here on this earth 2,000 years ago. He will show it all in that coming glad day when he comes back the second time without sin unto salvation. The glory of it, the power of it, the prestige of it. You serve a mighty Christ. I said you serve a mighty God. Praise the Lord. He's not just mighty, he's almighty. Almighty means there's nothing he cannot do. He can do that's exceedingly above what we're able to ask or even think. Now you think of that. And I know that everybody we pray for, they don't get healed. I wish they did, but God has a reason for what he does. And he never makes a mistake. So the Bible said these armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That means every child of God is going to be riding a white horse. These will be Holy Spirit-filled horses. These horses, all of them white, millions upon millions of them, will be coming back to this earth, and all will be white, denoting righteousness. Praise God. And that's going to be quite a time. Don't you know that'll be quite a sight? As in the heavens, as far as you can see, the north, the south, the east, and the west, white horses. And that is something that's staggering. But we're going to be in the midst of that. Somebody said, do you really believe that? Yeah, well, of course I do, because I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's righteousness. Praise God. Praise God. All right, Donnie, pick it up with the 50.
You know, Brother Swagger, just as a note, even though there will be armies there, there's not going to be any participation in the fighting. There won't be much of a fight as it regards the Antichrist and as it regards the powers of darkness. Jesus Christ is coming back, King of Kings, as we'll read in just a little bit, and Lord of Lords. And even we're going to be there, but there's, I don't think, going to be too much fighting that we're going to have to participate in. But we're going to witness tremendous victory. But the reason I brought that up.
Excuse me just a moment. Let me interrupt you a second. The scripture does say that he will smite the nations.
He will. Oh, absolutely.
So that's talking about power. Mighty
power unparalleled. But one thing to look at. It has been the custom of empires and the military aspect of empires and nations to at times demonstrate through various, you know, parades and shows the greatest of their elements that they have. We've even seen that in some of the dictatorship, you know, the countries. They will march their armies and their tanks in a great display down the road and so forth. This will look, I think, very much like that. And that it will be a pure demonstration. In other words, we're not going to be trying to position ourselves for battle in the sense of you would find like in an actual war.
Let me interrupt you again, please. He will, of course, have complete control of the elements. And that will be what he will fight. Ezekiel told how that he would send blocks of ice from heaven that's as big as a car, as big as he wants it to be. And you throw millions of those things down upon an army, you're going to have some damage done.
And man can't do anything about that.
The elements, no, he can't.
Not a single thing.
Right. He won't be fighting like we fight with machine guns and stuff like that.
That's the point, is that this is, if we get it in our minds that this is going to be some typical battle scene like we would, some have witnessed in person, but actually those that, you know, have fought in battle would have seen man on man and so forth, like guerrilla fighting, combat fighting. This is going to be a battle that we've never seen the likes of before, because the one who's fighting the battle, he doesn't need any help. And like you said, he's going to have complete and total power, and he's going to display that. And I just picture it in my mind as it's going to be just like one of those great victorious military marches that will take place, where we will see the entirety of his glory. When Jesus came the first time, he came to die on Calvary.
Right.
That was the reason
right.
he came.
Yes.
And as you said it, I believe you preached and mentioned this in your message, that he did not ever give up the possession of his deity, but he laid aside the expression of his deity, because he came as the Lamb of God, and he came
exactly.
to redeem the world. And thank God that he did that. And they mocked him. They mocked him on the cross and said, "Look, here's the King of the Jews." They did not realize what they were saying. But in this picture, it's a whole nother picture. We are seeing him come back in power and in glory, but he's still the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God, but he's coming back powerful, and he will display that. So whenever I read this and I get that picture in my mind, all I can say is, Lord, I'm so glad I'm going to be there, and I don't have to worry about fighting, but I'm going to see him fight that battle, and it's going to be tremendous. We do serve such a mighty, powerful God.
Every eye, the scripture says, at his second coming will see him. And I've told it many times, but I'm positive in my own mind and spirit that the thousands of television cameras will be there, because the Antichrist will demand that the whole world see his annihilation of the Jews. Because this is what Herod and Haman and Hitler could not do, and it'll look like he's going to do it. And I think it's 5/6 of the Jews will be killed at that particular time. And so he's going to demand that the whole world see his great victory. And so I think that the thousands and thousands of television cameras that he demands to witness this event is going to portray it to the whole world. And instead of seeing the Jews slaughtered, the whole world is going to see Jesus Christ come back.
But you got to understand as well, it won't be just...
Go ahead, give the Lord a hand of praise.
It won't be just the television cameras. We're living in a day where your cell phone is your own television camera. And so you're talking about not only television cameras, but you're talking about thousands upon thousands of people with their cell phones.
Try millions.
Looking up, and they're going to be watching everything taking place. Now, can you imagine? You've got an individual who has taken a selfie with the background, and you got the near war in the background, and they're looking and rejoicing that Israel's about ready to be destroyed. And all of a sudden, they're going to see some things on their phone in the heavens that they're not going to be able to understand or see.
That's right.
So you have to think about not just the television cameras, but cell phones and the social media aspect. One person could have one social media video reach millions of people. So you're talking about social media. That's going to be a part of this as well. And that's going to be seen all over the world by the millions in a matter of a second.
That's going to be real social media.
That's real social media. That is exactly right.
But the whole world will see that.
Just through this right here and your cell phone.
At any hour, it looks like Israel is going to be totally destroyed. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, I believe it's half of Jerusalem will fall at that time. Mm-hmm. And it'll look like it's all over. These ancient people that have faced the powers of darkness unprecedented.
The greatest viral video that will ever be.
Oh, yes.
Is the return of Jesus Christ.
I saw him. Here it is.
That's it. The greatest viral video yeah. ever. And that's going to be a momentous occasion. I'm just, as Josh said, I'm just glad I'm going to be there. Amen. You want to talk about a one-sided fight? I don't know if anybody's ever been in a one-sided fight before, but this is going to be the epitome of a one-sided fight.
Have you ever met your grandmother?
Yes, I have. That is a one-sided fight.
That's a one-sided fight.
That we lose.
That battle's been lost before it was even started.
That's what I'm saying. And but yes, I hadn't thought about your little...
Your cell phone.
Jimmy Gog, whatever they are.
Close enough.
But the whole world is going to see it. I believe that.
That's it.
They're going to have to. They'll think first this is some new weapon that the Antichrist is going to completely annihilate the Jews. But they'll find out in just a few moments that's not what it is.
I want people to understand. See it, picture it in your mind's eye. Millions of white horses coming down from the sky. You won't be able to explain it, except you'll be able to recognize the one leading the charge.
Oh, yeah.
And that is going to be, you're talking about people who don't believe in Jesus, they're going to see him coming back. And they're going to change their opinion very quick.
I think so. And
Brother Spire, let me present this thought. In the book of Joel, it says in chapter 3, verse 2, that he's going to take them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. The name Jehoshaphat means God is judge. Then he says he's going to plead with them there. That word plead means to judge, but it means more than just to judge. He's actually executing their sentence. He's sentencing them, and then he's executing the sentence. So this is the judge, the sentencing, and the jury, and then the execution are all at the same time taking place. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's the only one worthy to do that. We saw one angel kill 185,000. This one Jesus, it's going to be a slaughter is what it's going to be.
Well, the Bible says it is. It's the blood will run to the horses' bridles. Right. And I had a lawyer to write me once, and he was a little bit upset because of what I said. The blood will be about 6 feet deep and mixed with water. Sure. And he said, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. I said, well, it says it's going to go to the bridles of the horses. I said, that's about 6 feet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a massacre yes. of unprecedented proportions. And the world and Satan himself is going to see just who Jesus Christ is right. and what he is.
Glory.
Not only who he is, but what he is. And he's almighty. And it said, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. That's the word of God. And Donnie, go ahead and pick that up.
Well, we didn't read verse 13, did you, at all?
Okay, well, go ahead and read it then.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood.
Speaks of the cross where he shed his life's blood, which gives him the right to judge the world. I sense the presence of God even yeah. as I read that text. Donnie did, clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And that blood, in a sense, will be there forever. I want you to think of that. Symbolic of the price he paid at Calvary's cross. And that we might be saved. He didn't go to that cross, ladies and gentlemen, for himself. He went for me and you. He went for me and you. And thank God he did. Thank God he did. The blood. It was the blood that saved Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Praise God. And it was the blood that flowed from his hands when they drove the nails in them. That flowed from his side when blood mixed with water came from his side, symbolizing a broken heart, I'm told. And the blood, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the glorified body, there's no scripture that says anything about us having blood at that time. But let me ask all this question. Do you think that in some way the blood of Jesus Christ will be reminded forever? Have you ever thought about that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Are you asking if we, all those in glory, will forever recognize and remember what he did at the cross?
That's not what I'm asking, but that's a good question. Very good question.
That's what the sacrificial system being reintroduced in the book of Ezekiel.
But I'm talking about a literal observation. It's not just something that happened, which is glorious as it was, but in some way, this blood he says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. That's obvious there. You'll see it. Look at it. And do you think that will be forever?
I think
blood on his garment.
I heard one preacher one time say that the blood was the blood of his enemies. And I said, no, the blood's not the blood of the enemies. The blood is his blood. Yeah. And I think that, because that blood is what gives him the right to judge and to execute and to... one of the key verses of this passage is, he who is called faithful and true.
Yeah.
And this is showing that he is faithful and true, that he keeps his promises and he keeps his judgment, that he keeps both of them. He's faithful and true to do both. And so I think this blood will be an eternal symbol of what Jesus accomplished at Calvary.
His blood is the guarantee of my redemption. And praise God for that. It's the guarantee that I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. It's the guarantee that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I think he'll wear it on his vesture in some sense forever and forever. I know the nail scars in his hands will be there forever and forever. And I think that this portrays to us the fact that it will be there forever as well.
Brother Swaggart, a couple months ago we had Dr. Scott Stripling on Sister Swaggart's program.
Dr. Who?
Scott Stripling. We went out to eat with him. He's an archaeologist.
Oh, yes.
And we had taken him out to eat the night before, and he got a phone call from Israel. Some of his team members were still in outside of the University of Haifa, I believe it is. And they had found the year before one of the horns of the altar at Shiloh, or Shiloh in Hebrew. And the
Ark of the Covenant?
No, about? This is the brazen altar.
Brazen altar, okay.
They had a stone one that was built for sacrifices. And Israel had confirmed, yes, that is from the altar that was built at Shiloh. And they called him when we were out having a bite to eat to tell him that they had equipment. They looked inside of the rock, and it was stained with blood inside the horn, which is what you would expect, because the Bible talks about the blood being applied to the horn of the altar. So here it is, we're looking at what, 30?
You're talking about the brazen altar.
The brazen altar that would have been at Shiloh. Shiloh was where the land was divided. That's where, yeah, where Joshua would have divided the land among the people. It was where Samuel was dedicated to the Lord, and where Samuel would rule for the very first part of his ministry.
That's the place right next to the Jordan.
That's right. And what I'm saying is here it is, 1,500 years later, we have proof of that blood. But for all of eternity, we'll have the proof of the blood that Jesus gave. And that'll be a reminder. And again, the authority that is in the blood.
Why did it take the blood to cleanse us from all sin?
Well, the blood of Christ is the most expensive payment, if you want to put it that way. And God, who was the offended party, had the right to choose what the payment for that sin was. And he chose his only begotten son to show two things. First of all, how bad sin really is, that angels could not pay. He could not. by divine decree, he had called the heavens into being, the mountains into being, the trees into being.
But he couldn't do that.
He couldn't
salvation.
Do that for forgiveness. And so it shows two things. One, how bad sin is. And number two, how much he loves us because he chose his only begotten son.
And
angels couldn't do it. God couldn't decree it. Angels couldn't do it. Man could not do
who
it.
Who shed his life's blood.
Amen.
That we might be saved. And it's the only thing that can cleanse from sin. Amen. Nothing else can.
The penalty for sin was death.
Right.
And he took our place. And Amen. That was represented by his blood.
He satisfied the demand.
The one without sin became the sin sacrifice so that his blood could wash away our sin.
Yeah. That's Amen. Right.
So I agree with you, Brother Swaggart, and what was said by Dr. Watts about us seeing the blood for all of eternity. Jesus, I think, would have had a choice as the Son of God, what type of body he would have when he rose from the dead. And he chose to be in the body that we would call the Son of Man. He chose a representative, because he could have been resurrected without the scars, but he chose, no, for all of eternity, I want you to know. Even told the religious leaders, you'll see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of Father.
What are the wounds in your hands?
That's it.
Zechariah wrote. He said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. What a statement. And I was reading a commentary the other day, and the writer stated it was some sarcasm in that answer. Whether that's correct or not, I don't know. I don't know if the Lord would ever use sarcasm, but it does sound that way. Where I was wounded in the house of my friends, they could hardly be called friends.
Yeah.
But at the second coming, they will become his friends. Praise God.
That statement, that question, and that interaction will happen at the second coming. That is what Israel will present to Jesus Christ, the one who came and offered himself to them the first time, and they crucified him. They rejected him as Messiah. And there's been a tremendous price to pay for that now for some 2,000 years. The Jewish people have paid greatly, and I don't want to even maybe use the word paid, but they have suffered greatly for that decision. Let his blood
right.
be upon us and our children.
Right.
I don't think they knew what they were asking fully, but they will look and they will ask him that question. And I don't think his answer will be sarcastic. I think that there is so much wrapped up in that. When you think about the rejection, and it's no different now than it was 2,000 years ago as far as the rejection of Jesus Christ. But through all of that, he will remember his covenant with Abraham. He will remember all of the promises, and he is truly the holy and the faithful one of Israel. And even through all of that, he will still call them his friends, and he has come to redeem them. He comes to save them from utter destruction. Maybe there will be sarcasm in that, maybe not. I think it speaks to the love of God that he has for the Jewish people.
Let me ask you
something, his regard.
Josh, you and your dad both. Of all the people in this auditorium tonight and all watching by television, whatever the case, you and your dad have some Jewish blood in your veins. Do you
right.
know that?
Yes,
of course
right.
you do know it. I know that. But that is different than any people on the face of the earth, the Jews. Mm-hmm. And does that speak to you in any fashion? Have you ever thought about that, that there is Jewish blood in your veins?
I have thought of it. I'll say this. First of all, it has no bearing on salvation. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile.
That's
salvation
true.
Only comes by accepting
but
Jesus Christ.
But it is important.
Right, but I just wanted to make that part clear. But as it regards progeny and heritage, there is something special to that. Being in the land, going back to Israel, was very special to think about, even though I don't know the details of where our family was and what tribe and so forth. But the part of our family's story that we do know for sure is unfortunately the heartbreaking part of the story, the death and the destruction that happened. Dad's father, my grandfather, his family being born and raised in Berlin, Germany, during the time that Hitler came to power, about 2/3 of our family, if I'm not mistaken, were killed in Auschwitz, in the concentration camps.
Well, your name is about as Jewish as it can get.
Rosenstern, yeah, you're pretty much it. We're either selling you shoes or something, but yes, seriously, yes, we are, our family, that is the case. There is something special, but I thank God for this as well, that I can meet somebody that's saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, and that one has been grafted in just as much as I have and so forth, and we are now brothers and one in Christ. But, Dad, I don't know what your response would be, but, yes, I do feel it is a very special thing, absolutely.
I think the privilege gives us opportunity to understand the benefits of what God has done with salvation, to think that we as Gentiles and Jews together in salvation in Christ can witness to both Jews and Gentiles and win them to Jesus Christ. I've felt, Brother Swaggart, since the 1967 war, I was watching it on the television with my dad. I recall those days. Something even then as a young child pricked me about the people of Israel, the Jewish people, and what they were fighting for and what they were trying to do to survive in this world. But now I understand more particularly the benefit that God had set them aside, and he's going to bring them back. And thank you for the privilege that Josh and I both have to bring this type of programming into the country of Israel, yes, to speak to our Jewish brothers and sisters in the sense of the God of Abraham, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he is the one that can still today save them as he did 2,000 years ago when he died at the cross. They can wait till he comes back to meet him, but they can meet him right now tonight.
When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there. Those who rejected, those who refused. Oh, sinner, hasten, let Jesus come in. And he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass. I will pass over you. I feel led of the Lord to pray the sinner's prayer as we close tonight. And if you're watching us, we're so glad to have you. But I'll ask you, are you sure that you're saved? That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you certain? If you aren't, now is the time to make it right. Your whole world will change and for the better. Now I'm going to ask the congregation to say it with you as well as the brethren. And I want you to say it and believe it with all of your heart, and he'll save your soul. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, I come to you. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm sorry for my sins.
I'm sorry for my sins.
The way I've lived.
The way I've lived.
The things I've done.
The things I've done.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
And cleanse me.
And cleanse me.
With your precious blood.
With your precious blood.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
With my mouth.
With my mouth,
I confess the Lord Jesus.
In my heart,
I believe that God raised Jesus
from the dead,
and he is alive.
This very moment,
I accept Jesus Christ
as the Savior of my soul,
and I make him the Lord of my life.
And according to his word,
which cannot lie,
I'm washed,
I'm cleansed,
I'm forgiven,
I am saved. Praise God, praise God. Well, it was amazing grace.
How sweet.
we'll see you Sunday morning.
We hope you were blessed by this message. This podcast is made possible by the generous support of people like you. To contribute to this work, please visit www.jsm.org or call 1-800-288-8350.